So it's just like, ugh.
Yeah, that's probably it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's supposed to be chilly tomorrow and rainy.
Are you nervous about the run?
It's my last one. I want to be under 210. So that's like 9:55 a mile.
You want to be under 210?
Yeah.
John said that he's going to follow you and taunt you through the whole thing.
Why?
Yeah.
Why would he do that?
I think he just said it so that I would tell you and freak you out.
Ugh. Tell him to piss off.
This is what he said.
Did you tell him that I have ran 6 miles in the last month? Mom made me feel better. She was just like, no, you've ran 2. You'll be fine.
You'll be fine. Yeah. I told you that.
I know. Everybody's telling me that.
You don't have to run every single day to be a good runner.
No.
How do your muscles ever recover?
I know.
Without taking a recovery day.
Well, even with the Hansen method, you have 2 recovery days during the week. And that's like...
With all, you have a rest day.
I have a rest day.
Do you? You're making a face like you don't. Yeah, he said that him and Bonnie were going to be in the town, run the race. And then I said he's welcome to shower.
Are they running?
He is. She's mm-hmm. not.
Is he doing the full?
No, he's doing the half. He said you were doing the half too. And then he said, I'm also running the half and plan to taunt Chelsea the entire 13.1 miles. Smiley face.
He's dumb.
And then he said him and Bonnie want to come over after the race.
Oh, okay.
So I'm assuming that he'll probably shower and we'll go eat lunch somewhere.
Yeah.
If there's anywhere to eat lunch. Because
he'll
be done.
He's been pacing like pretty well. I've been tracking him on Strava.
Yeah. Are you a Strava person now?
I'm a big Strava person.
You know why I like Strava? Because I would normally post that on Facebook and none of my Facebook friends give a fuck how fast my miles are.
I don't care. I care.
But that's what Strava's good for.
Yeah.
Oh, look, Chelsea ran today.
Because it is all of like the athletic people going like, yeah. Oh my God, you did so good.
Yeah. In that tone. That's how I read it when people tell me I did good. You did so good.
Mike dies when I talk like that because he's like, it's like you're belittling everything. And I'm like, that's...
Oh my God, you're just so adorable.
You are just so cute.
No, it does sound like you're...
Is it bad? Well, whatever.
I mean, I know you're not because I know...
And Mike does too, but...
When other people hear you.
Jake was over here last night and he was talking about something. And I was like, oh my God, that's so great.
It sounds a little sarcastic.
I know.
Oh, Jake noticed it too?
Yeah. I am sarcastic to Jake all the time. So.
So he probably,
he's fine with it.
You probably use the same voice for when you're being sarcastic and for when you're just being serious.
Probably. No one knows.
I'm going to start talking to my coworkers like that, though. Mostly just Jay. Oh, my God. What a good job.
You did so good, though. So good. Are we recording? Oh, perfect. All right. I'm super, like, phlegmy because, you know, allergies. So, all right. My name is Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review.
What? It's because I started to say something and she's like, I'm Chelsea. And I'm like, oh.
What were you going to say?
I was going to ask if you got your hair done again recently.
I didn't. I didn't.
Maybe it's just down.
It's down and it's like she highlights it. So when you part it different ways, it looks different. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, we're going to go to northern New Mexico. Is it? Northern New Mexico? It's Los Alamos.
I have no idea.
Okay. New Mexico.
New Mexico.
In Let Me In, which is the 2010 vampire thriller directed by Matt Reeves. The screenplay is done by Matt Reeves and John Lindquist. John Lindquist is the author.
I was just going to ask you that.
Yeah. He's the author of the 2004 novel, Let the Right One In, which is a Swedish novel.
It's Swedish, and then there's also a Swedish movie that came out 2 years before this one.
Yes.
Let the Right One In. Which actually, when I suggested this one, that's the one I thought I was really recommending.
They're mm-hmm. both good, in my opinion. But Matt Reeves wanted to clarify with everybody that Let Me In is not a remake of the Swedish film. It's a variation of the novel. It's an interpretation
of the novel.
Yes. Because so many people are like, oh, like one of my friends messaged me and asked me if we were doing the original or if we had seen the original. And I'm
They're 2 years apart. The original was 2008.
Right.
The original.
The original.
I don't really consider that.
No.
Like, I wouldn't consider it a remake. I would consider it just like another.
Yeah. Variation.
Variation.
Yeah, because when you talk about original, it's like, oh, that one was done in the 80s or 70s or whatever.
Yeah, and this one, it would have been a remake 2 years later, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So anyway, that's that.
It's about vampires.
Yes. Child vampires, which are terrifying, but we'll talk about that later. It stars Cody Smit McPhee, which was Nightcrawler in X-Men Apocalypse. He plays Owen, and then Chloe Grace Moritz, I believe it's Moritz. She plays
sure.
Abby, the child vampire. She was in the remakes of Suspiria, Carrie, Dark Shadows. She was also Hit Girl. And then
Kick-Ass, right?
Yep.
Okay.
And then Richard Jenkins, who plays Thomas, Abby's keeper, who he was in Cabin in the Woods and Step Brothers.
It was hard for like the first
yeah.
bit of it to take him seriously because I just saw him from Step Brothers.
Yeah.
The
detective who has no name, and we just had to look up how to pronounce his name. I think
he's just listed in the credits as policeman. Okay. The policeman. When I was like reading about it, it just said the policeman.
Okay.
Anyway, detective policeman.
Elias Codius. He yes. was more famously known as Casey Jones in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the original.
Well, he's been in a ton of stuff,
but that's what I remember him from. I'm always like, oh, Casey Jones.
I get him confused with the guy from Law and Order.
Yes.
They look very similar.
Yeah. And then the last person, and I hate his character, Dylan Minnette, who plays Kenny. He was in 13 Reasons Why as Clay, if you've watched that.
Did you watch that?
I watched some of it. It was a lot. It was heavy topics. I watched the
first season, and it was crazy because each one, like, her story kept building.
Yeah.
And then I started watching the second season, but it was, like, late at night, mm-hmm. and I couldn't get into it, and it had been a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good, though.
All of the actors in this do an amazing job. Well, especially Kenny, because Kenny is the bully in the movie, and he's just such a douchebag.
He's terrible.
Such a cock. I hate him.
But did you notice that it's like a chain type thing because his brother bullies him and calls him a girl.
Absolutely. And
is super hard on him. So he's just like probably taking it out on this other kid.
It's the worst. And I do want to point out too that Owen's mom is the hot mom from Stranger Things 2.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I had to like picture her.
The hot mom.
The one at the pool?
Yeah.
Oh.
You
don't see her a ton.
No, Matt Reeves, like in the 2008 version, and this is not going to be a comparison, but it's going
to
come up.
It's going to be hard to not be like, oh, but in the book, or oh, in the 2008.
So in the 2008 version, Owen's parents, they're separated and stuff, but they play a more prominent role. Matt Reeves didn't want that for his version. So you never see the dad. The dad's a voice on the phone. And the mom is, like, blurred. Like, you don't ever really get a good picture of her.
The dad on the phone is also Elias Codius.
Mm.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, I thought that. I didn't get a ton. Like, for some of them, I just have so much, like, fun information. But, I mean, this, it was filmed in New Mexico.
Yeah.
Where it takes place. Well, I don't know if it's the exact town, but it's filmed in New Mexico. It's just kind of like with the modern films, there's not as much.
Like there was some stuff. So,
I was going to say it gets more into like who the characters play mm-hmm. in other films. Like that information is good. But especially with this one specifically, anytime I tried to look up trivia, it was comparing it to the book or the 2008.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, this is like a shout out to this scene mm-hmm. or this is like a little reference back to whatever. Yeah. And none of it, I didn't want to.
No.
It's not a comparison.
It's not a comparison one. I did look up the Ronald Reagan Evil Empire speech to make sure that it took place in March of 1983, and it does.
Oh.
So that is cool.
Wow. I'm like rubbing off on you.
Yeah. And then I looked up the snowfall for March of 1983 in Los Alamos, Texas. And there was a decent amount of snow during that time.
Nice. That's very nice. Yes. I applaud you.
Yep. What I do at work.
In my defense, I just bombed this past week. And I know I say that like every other film, but work has been like crazy. I got out of work, took a nap, and I'm at 16,000 steps.
Yeah. Well, like, you are on your feet like all day. Like,
so
I have 4,000 steps right now.
And Greg will go running and he'll be like, I have more steps than you. I get a foot rub tonight because that's our thing. But yeah. I always win. So it's not really fair because even if I just work a normal shift, I get like a million steps. But yeah, between last weekend being like the motorcycle thing, this week working like crazy towards Labor Day. Like,
well, then it's summer. Like everybody, like we're all over the place in the summer. And you especially, like, with work, so.
And now, we can talk about this after. But I always feel like I have all these things going on. I'm like, let's record this night. Mike's doing this. Let's record this night. Sienna.
Right, oh. Yeah. I'm like. Yeah, so it's both of us.
It is both of us.
We need to do a two-night recording some point. Just so we can get ahead. Because I know when we first started, we were doing two a week. And it was nice to kind of have like a week or two where we weren't doing this.
We would have to do it on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the only way because we're getting way off track. We'll talk about this after.
Yeah. now we're getting into it, folks. Well, I don't know. We always get compliments from like the two people. Like,
from two people.
Like, oh, I like how you guys ramble.
We have our two people that like it when we ramble. No, I think more than that. I don't know. I was going to ask Mike how many, like, what our stats were.
We'll go over it after.
Okay.
That'll be an after thing.
So, let's get into it. It's a vampire film. Child vampire kind of befriends a boy.
Yeah.
Trouble ensues.
Trouble ensues.
It starts out Los Alamos, New Mexico, and it's 1983. There's an ambulance flying down the road. There's a burn victim in the back. It's called in as a criminal escort, so there are police involved. Mm-hmm. He is horribly burned. The police ask who he is. He's not.
Well, he's not going to respond. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
So the policeman goes into the hospital room, asks a man who he is. He gets a phone call, so he's, like, called away. He finds out that the man had a daughter. The burned man has a notepad and paper because mm-hmm. he can't speak. He writes, "I'm sorry, Abby," and then it appears he commits suicide.
Yes.
He jumps out the window.
Yeah.
And he's on, like, the 10th floor or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is actually the 10th
floor.
It's
the 10th floor. Yeah.
So it's this huge mystery. Like,
what the fuck happened?
Who's Abby, the daughter situation. And then that scene is only maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it jumps back to 2 weeks earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Which, this will come up later, but I want to ask you, how long do you think it takes to learn Morse code?
For a child vampire, probably not that long.
Okay, but for your average 12-year-old.
A month or two At least. Because I remember Dad trying to teach me Morse code because he had the flashlights with Morse code, like the Army ones.
We had walkie-talkies, too.
Yeah.
That had Morse code on the back, so you could, like, beep Morse code on them.
Yeah. Probably quite some time.
Okay. It flashes to 2 weeks earlier, and there's a young boy. He's sitting in the courtyard of, like, an apartment complex, which, oh, here I am comparing. The apartment complex in the Swedish one is way creepier.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah. Hands down.
But it is, and it's wintertime. He gets called in for dinner. Mom's fighting with Dad on the phone.
Yeah, they're separated or going through a divorce.
They are, I think, yeah, separated.
Okay.
Going through a divorce. And I kind of got the impression that they were fighting about him.
Yeah, because
she says something like, you promised, or you blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Like, and then he's just sitting there, like, with his head down while she's on the phone arguing.
I know.
Yeah. And he's adorable.
He's a cute kid. Yeah, for sure.
Super cute. And just, like, overall, like, sad looking.
Yeah.
Then he is, like, a little bit fucked up, though.
He's, well,
because it's... when he goes to his room, he's wearing this, like, creepy mask.
Yes.
And...
with a knife.
With a kitchen knife.
Saying something like, are you a little girl? And that's what the bully says to him. Yeah. All the time.
So he's, like, saying it in the mirror. And
he
then...
has the tall tale makings of a serial killer.
What is that? The dark triad or whatever?
It's the, yeah.
Like the three things. Like
being abused. This isn't a true crime podcast, but whatever. Being abused, animal abuse, and then...
wetting the bed.
Wetting the bed.
The other one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you never see him do anything to animals.
No.
But the bullying, I feel like he's bullied enough. And his parents, he probably does wet the bed too.
Yeah.
So...
but with that, we don't need to...
yeah.
A true crime podcast, but yes.
He's showing signs.
Pre-signs.
Yes. Then he's wearing the mask and he has a telescope in his room and he's spying on the neighbors.
And you do find out that, like, I always say this. I'm always like, spoiler alert, but this whole thing's
a spoiler. Right.
All of the people that he's watching are going to be victims of Abby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's just like, that's not, I don't think, intentional.
No.
That's just like,
it's just like,
they're there.
Here are these people.
They're in the apartment building.
Yeah.
He sees Abby and she's moving in with her dad. Obviously, it's nighttime. He notices that she's not wearing shoes.
Supposed dad.
Well, that's how it appears.
For now.
For now. He's her,
but
like,
yes,
vampire.
Like guardian.
Guardian.
Mm-hmm. What Owen is going to be in like 40 years.
Yeah, we'll get there, okay?
Okay.
Calm down. Well, he notices that she has bare feet. It's a little weird. At school, I'm assuming the next day, he is getting bullied. Oh, I know.
It just...
he gets beat up by these guys so bad. In the locker room that he pees his pants.
Yeah.
Because they're, like, holding him down, wailing on him.
They're wailing on him, and Kenny, like, gives him a wedgie.
Yeah.
Like, an atomic wedgie.
An atomic wedgie is when they go up over the top of your head.
Okay, well.
A real bad, painful wedgie. And
oh, my
pants.
God. And I don't know. I was talking to Mike about this. My days of, like, elementary school, middle school, and whatever, I have never hated someone so much that I would ever do that to other people.
It's because boys tend to beat on each other, where girls, it's more like
catty bullshit.
It's more emotional.
It's yeah, that's true.
I'm trying to think of like the words for that. It's more I can't think of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's fine. But I've just,
it's psychological warfare.
Yeah.
With girls.
Yeah.
Because a guy that doesn't like another guy is going to pick on him, and then he's going to end up fighting him. Where a girl is going to tell everyone, like, oh, my God, she's a slut.
Yeah, that's
true. Or, like,
true.
walk around and tell random stories about you until you don't have any friends.
Maybe if, and I never really got an answer out of Mike, but I've never known a guy in middle school to hate another guy. Like, just the acting in this film is really good.
Yes.
We'll just leave it at that. The acting's really shit. Good.
Wait, okay. Weren't you in like second grade when you jumped across the table and choked a girl out?
No, that is not what happened at all. We were in the hallway and she made fun of me for liking Jonathan Goebel. Mm-hmm. And I remember this.
Shout out to Jonathan Goebel. Hope you're listening.
Yeah, right. So I like went and I pretended to choke her because she was one of my friends. My hands never went to her neck or anything. But then this stupid little bitch, Dustin Moore, calling you out too, Betty, went and told the teacher. And then I couldn't watch Power Rangers for a month. Do you remember?
That you guys were in class and she was sitting across from you and she said something and you went over the desk to take her out.
That's not even what happened.
Maybe mom just exaggerated it.
Thanks, mom. No, we were in the hallway. That's, oh, God. It was terrible.
When he's getting beat up, though, Greg made a good comment. He's like, I hope they die horribly.
That's exactly. My Insta thought was,
please die.
Yeah, all of you.
And they do.
And they do.
Do die horribly. So that night is the night that Abby tells them that they can't be friends. Or tells Owen.
Which is such a strange conversation.
Hey, kid sitting next to me, we can't be friends. And then she just walks away.
It's like Twilight. You're not good for me.
Yeah. Like so strange. Okay, buddy. Fine, sit next to me in class and hold your breath and then run away. Be weird. I don't care. And then you find out. So then it's also the same night. Abby tells them they can't be friends. She goes to do her own thing. Her keeper, her supposed father, hides out in the back seat of a kid's car at the grocery store. And abducts him. And then he hangs him up to drain his blood into, like, gallon jugs.
Yeah. Like a milk jug or something, isn't it? I can't remember.
It's some sort of, I thought it kind of looked like an antifreeze bottle.
Some sort of vessel.
A plastic vessel with a funnel on the top.
Yeah.
While he's, so he gets the blood, well, then he trips.
That poor guy, like, what fucking luck, man.
He needs to retire.
He needs to, and he says that, too.
He needs to just be done with it. He's up there in age. I don't know how old.
50s, probably 50s, late 60s. 50s, early 60s. Yeah.
So he's getting on in years. He can't go kidnapping high school kids and draining their blood.
No.
Also, all this takes place with snow on the ground. So it's like all the evidence everywhere.
Yeah. Anyway. I think it's so creepy. He wears like a plastic bag over his face with the eyes cut out.
Yeah, that was his idea. That really? Was the actor's idea.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Because he had to be like masked somehow. So yeah. He wears a plastic bag over.
I mean, it's effective.
It's pretty damn spooky. It kind of reminded me of Jeepers Creepers.
Yes.
Like that kind of face.
Oh.
Yeah, we should do that one.
We should do that one.
You're writing it down.
Spooky season.
Spooky season, extra spooky movies. Well, so then he gets home and he gets in a fight. Owen overhears the fight.
Yeah, because they share a wall.
He says, maybe I'm getting sloppy. Maybe I'm just tired of all this.
I mean, you would be if you were like...
It would be exhausting.
...toting around a vampire
and how,
chick.
I wonder how often she has to feed. Like, if he got a gallon of blood, like, how long would that last?
I don't know.
Like, could she go a couple weeks on it? Because it seems like they would just be moving all endlessly. The time. Yeah. Well, the next day there's a school assembly, and then that's kind of when you find out that he went to their school. The kid that went missing.
Yeah. He was a recently graduated senior.
Okay. Because they have like a like banners and stuff yeah. up for him.
Mm-hmm. So, and the detective is there, like, talking to the kids and stuff, like yeah. if they know anything or
if whatever. They heard anything, yeah. yeah, to let them know. Then after school, Owen's sitting outside his apartment building. Abby talks to him. Her stomach is growling.
And, like, she's like, she smells bad,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she smells like, bad. She's unwell. That's when the Rubik's Cube comes up. He's, like, playing with the Rubik's Cube, yeah. asks her if she wants a shot at it. And then that evening, she waits in a tunnel and ambushes a jogger.
Which, again, child vampires are the worst because...
she's like, help me, I'm so sad. And she doesn't have shoes on and it's wintertime.
I fell. And then the jogger...
I fell. That's like the dumbest thing.
Yeah. He's like, oh my God, like, let me help you. And he goes and like picks her up and she just like attacks him.
Did not like the computer graphics.
I didn't like that either. I thought... But it was 2010.
They could have... You could have just seen the silhouette of what was happening without the graphics.
Yeah.
They could have done a stunt double with, like, a little gymnast.
It was too... Yeah, it was too much like Mama. Like, do you remember?
Yes.
Yeah. It was too much like that. It was really weird looking and awkward, and I agree.
It was creepy because she's, like, yeah. ripping them to bits. But
I do want to bring up... Okay, so child vampires. Is there, like, a vampire leader? Because, notoriously, children vampires are extremely frowned upon in the vampiric community.
Okay, here's my thing. Maybe... So she's... I think she's, like, playing it as 12, but let's assume she turned at, like, 13, 14.
Yeah.
13 or 14 now is a child.
13, 14...
200 years right. ago, 300 years That's ago, true. Whatever, you were not a child.
What about...
You were, like, looking at marriage prospects.
What about Kirsten Dunst in Interview with a Vampire?
Kirsten Dunst, was I think, like was eight? Too little. She was eight or nine in that.
Tiny. That was a terrible scene.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. And then Brie Tanner, too, in Twilight.
Yes.
She had to have been, like... She looked like she was 14 or 15, though. She was older.
Either way.
Okay.
The age thing is... Yeah, I mean...
I feel like there is a difference between, like...
A four-year-old...
A toddler vampire and then, yeah. like... Yeah.
And, like a preteen.
Because I wanted to ask you about that and, like, your thoughts.
I think she would have passed as, like... a vampire at the time she was made.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, like, if you were making a vampire right now, 12 or 13 year old would be a no-go.
Okay.
You'd be in
Damn
trouble.
It.
So then after that happens, Owen's in his bedroom. He hears the father. I just have him written as the father.
Yeah, that's okay.
Screaming at Abby. That basically has to go clean up her mess. So,
well, I feel like that's a common thing that happens.
Yes. Ugh. That's something that he's probably
exhausting.
Screamed at her for a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So he just throws the body in a creek. Once again, drag marks, blood everywhere. Like, how is he...
In winter.
Hiding any of this? And do they have, like, a time period when this is supposed to be set?
In the 80s.
Oh.
Yeah.
Duh.
Early
yeah, it
80s,
says right in the beginning,
winter.
Early 80s. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe not the same, like, technology that we have now, but draggy blood marks in the snow. Draggy.
Draggy. Look at all them draggy blood marks.
Draggy blood marks. So, I just missed something.
The jogger is the guy from the apartment complex, too.
The one weightlifting
yeah.
from the beginning? Oh, I guess I never put that together. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then in the morning, Owen finds the solved Rubik's Cube, which I thought was kind of cool. There's the school memorial for Scott. Then they talk that night. She tells him that she doesn't have a birthday, which he thinks is, like, bizarre.
Yeah, she says she's 12, more or less. And he's just like, more or less.
She never admits to any age.
Yeah. Well, he asks her, like, oh, are you 12? And she's just like, yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
How big? Sure.
And he's like, I'm 12 and 8 months and 3 days or right. something like that.
He's very specific. Yeah.
So she says she doesn't have a birthday. Then the next day, Owen is... So he's in school. They're watching Romeo and Juliet in class. He's sitting there learning Morse code, and he actually kind of looks happy.
I know.
Like, he's writing it down on a sheet and kind of, like, smiling while he's writing it. Well, then the bully, notices that he's happy, and I'm like, fuck, he's in for it.
Yeah, of course.
Like... He's having a good day. Here's this guy that's going to come and wreck it.
It's so terrible.
So him and his two other, like, little bully idiot
henchmen.
Guys. Yeah, his henchmen. They corner him in the bathroom, and the kid whips him in the face with a radio antenna.
That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember what a radio antenna was called, because...
Yes. In olden times, you had a... portable radio, and on the top of it was like an extendable piece of metal.
Couldn't you unscrew it too?
You can unscrew them.
Yeah, I remember that.
Did you unscrew them from cars ever?
No.
Oh, maybe that was just the delinquents that I hung out with.
What did you do? Did you unscrew them and like throw them places?
No, or what? I would just unscrew them like, oh, you can unscrew this, and then I'd put them back. But I'm sure people stole them or threw them away or whatever, ruined someone's day because they couldn't listen to the radio.
Kenny probably stole it from his brother's car.
Maybe. So we still have a giant radio antenna, and it has like a little clippy thing at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we lived in Deer Track and our furnace would go out, you would light a match and you'd put it in the little clip, and then you'd extend it way out down into the furnace to relight the pilot.
How archaic.
I know.
Are you a caveman?
Well, we didn't like rub stones together we didn't hit stones together to start our furnace.
One step up, right?
We had a match with a little clip on it, little paper clip thing. So he whacks him in the face with that and it bleeds. And the other bullies are like, That's enough. That's excessive.
And then Kenny tells him, like, you better not tell your mom what happened.
Yeah. And he basically forces him to like not tell. So then
you have told mom and dad?
No.
If you were being bullied?
No.
I wouldn't have either.
So his mom asks him what happened. He says he fell.
Yeah.
Which, okay. He meets up with Abby again that evening. She finds out he's reading Romeo and Juliet, which is kind of cute. He's like, mm-hmm. That's boring, but she is into it.
Yeah.
Abby's mom is dead is what she says. And then he confesses to her that he was bullied, or that, you know, a kid at school did it to him. And she told him to hit back.
Yeah.
And like, he's like, I can't hit back. There's three of them.
Like,
and
you need to hit back harder.
Yeah. Hit back as hard as possible. Well, I mean.
Yeah. Do you think so? Thomas, the father figure, does have a conversation with Abby and is like, you shouldn't see him anymore. Do you think Thomas was worried about Abby, or do you think he was jealous?
Jealous.
Okay. That's kind of what I got too, but...
Yeah, at what point does he do that? I can't remember.
It was after the Rubik's Cube, I think.
Nope. It's a little bit further ahead.
Okay.
We're getting there. That night, they talk to each other like through the wall. He signs up for after school strength training
with the gym teacher who is Russian, I think.
He has a pretty strong accent.
Yeah.
He steals money from his mom after school directly in front of a photo of Jesus. Picture of Jesus.
Yeah.
She has on her mirror. She's very religious too. We never like got into that.
No.
I don't know if she's very religious, but
usually if you have a picture of Jesus on your wall, it's pretty much safe to say.
It's on her bedroom mirror.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is it not Obi-Wan Kenobi from...
Oh, maybe it is Obi-Wan.
No, that was way later than 1983.
Well, okay, so he takes Abby on like a little date. They go to an arcade. He like it's explains so cute.
Yeah.
arcade games to her. He buys candy. I feel now really bad. Yeah. He's like, they're really good. Don't you want any? And she says no. And he gets kind of like disappointed. So she eats one. And then it makes her like violently ill. She like throws up right after.
It reminded me of the scene in What We Do in the Shadows when Nadia eats popcorn. And she just like.
I haven't seen that.
Okay.
I haven't gotten that far.
She's at a circus. And her suitor or whatever, she's like, no, eat some popcorn. And she's like, okay. And she takes a bite of it. And he's like looking off doing whatever. And it's like, it's the hose in the sleeve.
Oh,
and it's
no.
just like projectile vomiting. And he's like, oh, are you okay? And she's like, yes, I'm fine.
I'm fine. No big deal. Well, so she pukes. And instead of him being like, ew, he gives her a hug. And then she asks, Owen, do you like me? Which is really cute. But then she also says, would you still like me if I wasn't a girl?
I think.
Questionable.
That's a, and I'm doing it and I don't care, a callback to either the novel or the 2008 movie.
It could novel, be either. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
2008, yes and no. So in the film, Abby is a.
Like, you can tell.
She's a girl.
Yeah.
In the book, it's more of like a... I'm trying to think of, like, the right word for it.
Like, I'm going to say andra. We have it on the tip of our tongue. But you know what we're saying. huh?
Androgynous.
Yes. When you started to say it, I was like... Hydrogenized.
But
androgynous.
In the novel, when the vampire child is turned into a vampire, I believe they're castrated.
Well, the maker.
Supposedly, yeah.
So the character's name's Eli in the book and the first film. And Eli was born a boy and then not just castrated, like fully... Everything removed.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, the actor or the character just lives sort of like an androgynous life.
Mm-hmm.
In this film, it's Abby and she's a girl. I kind of thought though, if you didn't know that. And she said, would you still like me if I wasn't a girl?
You would think
like she thinks of herself as like a monster or not your average.
Not anything.
Yeah.
Really.
When Abby gets home from school or when Abby gets home from like her date, her dad is like going out to murder someone.
Yes. Okay.
And that's when he tells her not to see Owen again. Oh.
And you do kind of feel bad for him. Like he's served this vampire girl his entire life.
Yes.
Essentially. And now he's getting older and she's like, oh, well.
And now.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that's happened a ton.
Oh, for sure.
In their, like, partnership or whatever. Where she's shown interest in someone else and he's had to be like.
No.
No, don't hang out with them.
Yeah.
And she kind of has to follow that because he's taking care of her.
Yeah.
Like. She kind of has to obey him.
And she isn't like this isn't like she's a 12-year-old body with like an adult mind. Like some vampire films, like the young child vampires are like grown up. Like they have a grown up attitude. Like
yes.
But she's very much still a child essentially. So I don't know if she would think to clean up her messes and stuff. Like
yeah, she definitely needs somebody to take care of her. Where like in Interview with the Vampire, you know, she lives however many years and she has an adult mind but a child's body. So that's kind of like, but I've, her mind is still like very childish. Well, when the dad goes to abduct, I know.
It's so terrifying. This part scared the shit out of me more than.
So the dad tries to abduct someone. And he gets in the back seat. Well, then a friend jumps in the car. So now there's two guys in the car. You're just like shaking your head.
Can you imagine
hiding in a car waiting to kill someone? Okay. Yes.
I did it last week. No. Being in either position, whether you're the murderer in the back seat and having something unsuspected happen, or you're one of the two guys up front in the front seat with some dude in the back and you have no idea.
Like looking over out. The seat and, well, and seeing okay.
someone, yeah.
So the friend gets in the car, they stop at the gas station. So the driver gets out, pumps gas, goes into the station. In the meantime, the passenger, he's looking for his bag or something in the back seat.
Yeah.
Leans over in the back seat and sees the dad's face, like with the plastic bag over it. So dad has to do something. So he's like trying to choke him out before he can. Maybe it's the true crime part of me, but if you were the passenger in a car,
immediately get out.
No, well, he didn't have time to get out.
That's true.
But lay on the horn.
Yes. Yes.
The horn is right there.
It's right there.
It would get someone's attention.
I wrote this down too. I said, this is one of my worst fears. I have many, but being murdered right in front of people.
Oh, I thought you're, well, yeah.
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I was just going to say, I Know What You Did Last Summer, where she's like so close.
I thought
you were going to say my biggest fear is having someone in the back seat of your car.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have a lot of fears, but this one,
like, a lot keeps me up at night.
Like, it's not broad daylight, but there are a ton of lights. Station
and it's very well lit.
His friend is in the gas station paying for gas. It's all glass.
And it just freaks me out. If either one of the people in there, his friend or the cashier, would have turned, they would have seen him like struggling. Also, his friend is walking out of the gas station, runs into two buddies in varsity jackets.
Did they see
Turn around and like start talking too. Well, okay.
It was just so stressful. It was very stressful.
How often, though, if you were in that situation, are you going to look back at your car? No. Or are you going to be talking to your friends, buying a soda, doing whatever?
Do you remember that scene in Urban Legend where the guy is following the girl?
Car? I don't think I saw Urban Legend.
Mm,
but that's a good one. I do know that Urban Legend.
Yes.
There's called
somebody
like,
in the backseat or whatever.
It's called like High Beam or something like that because a trucker follows her and every once in a while he flashes her with a high beam and she's
like. That
was like,
in Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
She's terrified.
Yeah.
Was it in Scary?
It was Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
In the book or in the movie?
In the book.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But it is an urban legend, like a girl stops at a gas station, a serial killer
gets
in the backseat. Yeah.
An escaped mental.
Of course.
Asylum.
Hook for hand, you know, the whole thing.
Well, yeah, that is freaking terrible.
God.
So the dad takes out the passenger. He steals the car. So that's when it like gets the people's attention at the gas station when the car starts up and goes like speeding up.
Yeah.
Well, is it? Oh, he throws his
like a slushy
at the car. So then he can't see where he's driving. He's swerving all over the road, goes down an embankment, rolls the car.
That poor kid, man.
He's trapped.
And the kid, like...
The kid that died or the kid who got his car trashed? Let's think of priorities.
The kid that died. The poor guy was just getting a ride home because I think he said, like, oh, his girlfriend, like, couldn't come pick him up. So he was just, like, getting a ride home from his friend.
Dead.
Fuck. Oof. It's a lot.
It is a lot. Yeah, so they're trapped in the car. He hears, they obviously called the police.
Mm-hmm.
Then I didn't know what it was until Greg was like, it's acid.
I absolutely knew what it was because I saw him put it in the bag before he left.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's like chloroform or like
that's true.
Something.
It was in one of those like containers that dad had like
a medical type bottle. Yeah. Well, he dumps acid all over his face.
It was the one part that I fast forward because I didn't know.
You don't really see it.
I couldn't remember.
You just hear him screaming.
Okay.
He pours acid all over. Oh, Abby is like sitting up. She hears it on the radio that there's an accident with a burn victim. And she just kind of knows it's her dad, or kind of questions it. Because mm-hmm. she goes to the hospital, asks the nurse. Nurse says he's on the 10th floor.
And this is where it like ties into the beginning of the film.
Yeah. So then we're like caught up to the beginning. Mm-hmm. She climbs up there and she's looking in the window. He is horribly burned.
Ugh.
She asks, may I come in? And instead of her getting invited into his hospital room, he leans out and kind of like turns his head.
Yeah.
But they do have like a minute, like she puts her hand up to the glass and he sees her and walks over and you don't know if you're going to see his face. And I kind of wish you didn't see his face.
I kind of wish you didn't see his face too. It's just like with any horror film, not seeing it is scarier than actually seeing it.
Because like being burned is very scary to me.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
It terrifies me. That's mm-hmm. one of my big fears is like, because even if you, it's just the whole thing.
We don't need
just,
to. No, yeah. Yeah.
So I kind of wish that you didn't see him, but then they have like more than dad daughter moment.
Yes.
Like.
Well, and you.
Just the way they're looking at each other.
You know that, I mean, he's not her dad at this point. Like,
yes,
like something hinky, you know.
Well, she
she's crying.
She's crying, kind of.
Yeah.
Emotional.
Yeah.
She bites him and then he must have just like passed out and fallen out the window.
Yeah.
Which in reality, not a horrible way to go.
No.
Like
better than laying in a hospital with
acid burns
acid
all over.
Burns.
Yeah, that was a lot. So then she knocks on. So then that okay, she knocks on Owen's window, asks to come in, and then she just climbs in bed with him.
Yeah. So she at like he's like facing away from the window. And she asks if she can come in, and he's just like, yeah. And she's just like, don't turn and look at me.
She's like, all bloody.
Like, don't turn around.
Yeah.
So he's like, fine, like, whatever. And so then, like, she, like, strips off all of her clothes and, like, climbs into bed with him.
Yeah.
And he's just like, what?
And then he asks her to go study. And I can't remember, like, that exact conversation.
So...
Oh, they don't have to do anything different than what they're already doing.
Yeah.
He's just gonna... They're gonna date.
Yeah.
And she's okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
A lot happens within, like, a five-minute time period, so...
Oh, I forgot all about this. On... The way, so then it's like, sorry, I'm like stuttering.
That's okay.
I couldn't really remember the next scene. So when I was reading what my notes, it didn't make sense. The next day at school, they are on their way to go skating.
To go play some river hockey.
That just seems so fucked up and unsafe.
Absolutely. And the gym teacher is just like, yeah, just watch out for the holes.
In a frozen river.
In a frozen river.
On the way, the bully tells Owen that he's going in.
Oh, God. I just want to fucking punch him in
his
stupid face.
And I want to know, too, why they're all skating, but the bullies have no skates on.
Yeah, like, what are they doing? Are you not going to participate? Because last I heard, if you don't participate in gym class, you fail.
That's what I thought, too. Well, everyone else is skating around. They're not. The bullies kind of corner him out of the way. And what does Owen have? Like a stick?
It's like one of those roadside markers or something.
Like one of those metal post things?
It's something
anyway,
like that.
Anyway, he rails bully number one in the side of the head and splits his ear open.
And he's crying like a little girl. Which he absolutely deserved. And I only say little girl because that's what Kenny, like the bully, calls
That's the insult
Owen.
In this.
he's going to cry like a little girl.
He's crying like somebody railed the side of his head.
Absolutely.
And split his ear in half.
Wide open.
Yeah, that was pretty gross, too. I forgot how bad that was.
Yeah.
At the same time, there's like a gathering of kids. What are you looking at?
Mike just messaged me. He said the dad sank the body in the river with the same pole. So, like, to get the body waterlogged, push the body under. Thanks, Mike.
Was it the same pole or just the same?
Maybe the same type of pole.
The same exact one? He ditched it right there. Did he write his name on it?
Was he, like, vampire dad in black marker? Vampire dad pole. Okay. Well, that makes sense.
This is my drowned in stick.
This is my drowned in stick.
It's what I hold bodies underwater with.
Thanks, Mike.
The kids find the body under the ice, or like frozen in the top layer. So then there's like a big thing. The policeman goes to the Owens house and asks to speak to the mom about the incident in the building. Now, the incident in the building is the weightlifter / jogger that went missing.
Whose?
Body they found.
Body they found.
Yes. Yeah. When they found his body, he went around to everybody in the apartment. The police knock on Abby's door. Obviously, they're not going to answer that.
No.
What?
I was just reading ahead in my notes.
Owen tells Abby that he stood up to the bullies and she kisses him.
Yes.
Which was pretty cute. He then takes her to the high school kids' like basement hideout.
Yes. And like, is it in
the same apartment complex? Yeah. And there's like a couch and like magazines and
where you would drink beer and cans, like
where you would hide from your family. And he cuts his thumb to make like a pact with her, and it drips onto the floor because she's like, no, I'm not doing that. Well, she just looks at him like she's not doing that. And then, she licks it off the floor.
God, she vamps out.
She vamps out and then books it out of there.
Yeah. And, like, when Abby gets, like, vampiric looking, like, her face gets, like, darker veins. And she has, like, white eyes, like, white glowing eyes.
Yeah, her eyes, like, get glowy. Mm-hmm. Which is another thing where I'm like, it's 2010.
Different interpretation of vampires and not as good of...
Yeah, effects.
Effects, yes. That's the word.
It's kind of like the downtime in film effects. Because computer graphics, like, as they came out, then they're, like, super-duper overused, even though they weren't that great yet.
Yeah. Do you remember in American Werewolf in Paris, the werewolves?
Yes.
I just always crack up.
Yeah, I mean...
Because that's another good, like, right on the brink of maybe being good, but it didn't. It wasn't.
But it wasn't. Well, she runs out of there, the same thing, climbs up a tree, kind of like frantically.
This is the part that I had written in my notes. Cool.
She ambushes one of the neighbors, Virginia, and just kills that girl.
She doesn't kill her.
Oh, yeah.
So... Abby ambushes Virginia and bites her in the neck and like kind of like rips a big chunk out of her. And then she gets sent to the hospital.
Yes. I don't know why I just left all that
I wrote down, is Virginia going to turn into a vampire now? Even though like I knew it was going to happen, I was like, oh.
Well, in some vampire stuff, you have to have some of the vampire blood too.
Yes.
You can't just get bit and turn.
Yeah.
They like, have to choose to turn you.
True Blood, What We Do in the Shadows.
So Owen is just, he tries to wake up his mom. She's out. Calls dad. Dad blows him off. And then that's when Owen asks his dad, can people be evil?
Mm-hmm. Evil is like a prevalent, I mean, we don't get into all of the whatever.
So then
but...
Owen goes to Abby's, asks to be let in, which I thought was kind of cute.
I thought it was
because
cute.
Like she does that and then asks if she's a vampire.
And then he is like looking at her table of puzzles and stuff because she's really into different puzzles.
And there's all sorts of like crazy antique looking things.
And he picks up a picture from a photo booth that's of Thomas when Thomas or like the dad.
The
figure.
Dad when he's maybe 13 or 14.
Yeah.
Very young.
Mm-hmm.
He's recognizable because he has like a little birthmark under one of his eyes, like a little red birthmark. Mm-hmm. So he looks at that picture and knows, like, I don't know. Does he put it together that it's the same guy?
I think he's smart enough to where he would put it together. Like, he knows that this photo is super old. And, like, who's this guy, you know?
So this is, the next scene is when the police visit Virginia in the hospital.
It's so good.
You can tell this part.
Okay. I love it. So... Virginia is looking quite pasty, and she's kind of, like, in and out of it. And they tell the detective or whatever, like, oh, we put in, like 5 pints of blood in her, and she's just not, like, improving.
Mm-hmm.
So the nurse goes in, and you see Virginia, like, hunched over, like, on the other side.
She's laying in bed still. But she's, like, turned and kind of, like, propped up on her side.
Oh, my God. And she's just going to town on her arm.
She's chewing her arm, like, all nasty and there's blood all over.
Well, because there's, like, other people's blood in her arm and she's like, shit, like, I'm hungry.
Well, that's exactly what she's thinking. Well, shit, I'm hungry.
I'm hungry.
It seemed like she would have just bit one of the pints of blood.
That's true. But if the blood was already in her... The blood is, like, in her body.
Oh, yeah. Like, which would be... I don't know what that would do to a vampire.
I don't know what that would do either. Because isn't there one vampire film where if you take out all of the vampire blood and replace it with human blood, you're cured? I mean, not in real life, but, like, that's
was
what
that
the vampires
in,
thought.
Daybreakers? Daybreakers, maybe. I think. Something like that.
Yeah.
They pull back... The nurse pulls back the curtains... And
I kind of wanted Virginia to live, but
Virginia bursts into flames and the nurse is like between the completely engulfed bed and like the curtains. So she catches on fire.
It's an inferno, man. It's a vampire inferno.
Yes. Then Abby goes over to Owen's and he doesn't invite her in. And he's like, what happens if I don't invite you in? Not that he, like, wouldn't.
No.
But he just wants to know. And she starts, like, dripping blood from everywhere.
It looked like a scene from Carrie, which she is in.
It did. Yeah, it's like she starts sweating blood.
Yeah, it's gross.
So Abby takes a shower. Owen, like, puts on music. She comes out in a towel. She borrows a dress from...
Mm-hmm.
His mom, and it's kind of like this cute, like, 70s style dress. Yeah. It's pretty cute. And he, like, peeps on her,
mm-hmm.
which that...
You don't see anything, but...
You don't see anything. But they... That was also in the trivia for this, that's, like... Because he's looking, and then he, like, gasps. And it's supposed to be, instead of seeing, like, a naked lady, he sees a... boy with his stuff removed.
Yes.
Ugh. Yeah. So Owen's mom comes home. It's like 10 p.m. Owen sneaks out. Police show back up.
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm like quickly kind of glancing through my shit.
Owen's sleeping at Abby's. Did they identify her dad? Is that why?
They did.
Okay.
They kind of put two and two together, like...
No one's answering the door of this apartment building. I'm assuming that at that point they'd found out that they just moved in.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Owen sleeping at Abby's when...
On the floor.
On the floor.
Sleeping on the floor in the living room.
When the police show up, Abby had went to bed in the bathroom. The police see the police, the policeman, the main detective, sees multiple IDs and wallets. He reads the note to Owen, which, did you write that down?
The note says something.
It's something from Romeo and Juliet.
It's something from Romeo and Juliet, so it's super cute. And then it says, I'm in the bathroom. Please don't come in. Can we hang out again tonight?
Abby. Is it that long?
It's that long. Like, it's a longer note. It's something from Romeo and Juliet, and then it's like, yeah.
It's like, leave now or stay and die or something like that.
Twilight bullshit.
Romeo and Juliet bullshit.
Yeah. What is that one? Because it's also in...
This one's going to be a million years long.
That's fine.
I just realized that.
It's also in Westworld, too. These violent delights have violent ends or something. That's in Twilight and Westworld. Anyway.
Is it quoted in Twilight from, like, a classic...
From Westworld? I don't think so.
That's not what I mean. I mean, is it, like...
It is quoted in Twilight from, like, it's, you know, how in some... of the beginning, like right in the opening scene, there's like a quote, or it's Bella talking or some bullshit like that.
Yeah, and it's from whatever book that I never read. So it's not like they quoted Twilight in Westworld.
No, God, no. No. It's a common, it's a very popular quote.
Okay. Anyway, there's a note, says don't go in the bathroom. So what's the policeman do? Goes into the bathroom. The window's papered over. He sees a tub full of blankets.
Yeah.
He starts peeling back the blankets. Owen tells him, wakes up, tells him to stop. He sees the girl in the tub. Well, then he goes to open a window and it burns her. Big mistake on his part.
Yes.
Owen tells him to stop.
Trouble ensues.
So she kills him.
She jumps on his neck or on his back and, like, starts biting him. It's a horrible
scuffle.
That's
a horrible scene.
That's a horrible scene.
Yeah.
And she's, like, throwing him into the side of the bathroom and whatever. And then he's laying on the ground still alive while she's, like, feeding on an arm or something that you can't see. And then Owen is, like, at the door. And it's almost like the detective is, like, help me or whatever.
Yeah. He reaches for Owen and Owen just looks at him and shuts the door.
I think that was a turning point for Owen.
A little bit.
I think that was when he was like, all right.
So then Abby is all covered with blood and she hugs Owen and tells him that she has to go away.
Yeah.
She gets in a taxi, leaves, and then Owen's crying. This is the best scene in the whole film.
Oh my God. It's so satisfying. I was so happy.
Owen is at, like, swim practice?
He met with the gym teacher about, like, getting more physically fit.
Oh, yeah. It's, like, his strength training thing.
And so the gym teacher was just like, yeah. Like, I'll
Which is all at you. Night.
It's at night.
Okay.
And so the gym teacher is, like, helping him swim and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the bullies are, like... gonna murder Owen.
Absolutely.
They start a fire in a dumpster
and it's,
outside.
And it's Kenny and his older brother and the two other dudes.
Yeah. So there's four of them total.
Yeah.
They start a fire to distract people and they come in and they...
The gym teacher's locked out of the school. Like, it shows the bullies locking the doors once the gym teacher leaves.
And they...
My God.
Pull everyone out of the pool, basically. They kick everyone out. Then they grab Owen in the locker room, and they hold his head underwater.
And they drag him across the floor into the pool room.
Yeah.
Or into the pool. It's just terrible.
They pull him into the pool... They tell him that he has to hold his breath for 3 minutes or they'll poke his eye out. And they say it's an eye for an ear. I don't think that's fair.
I don't think that that's the same, but okay.
While he's being held underwater, everyone is completely fucking massacred. And I wrote it in big letters.
Yeah, so he's being held under by the older brother. Yeah. And even Kenny at like 2 minutes is just like, no, pull him up. And the older brother's like, no, fuck you. Like, I'm doing this.
Yeah. They're killing him.
They're killing him.
Well, then all of a sudden, blood is in the pool.
And you see the hand.
The hand that was holding him in the water is now severed.
Oh my God, it's so satisfying.
A severed head falls into the pool. You see somebody just getting like whipped around like Jaws style. Yes. Blood everywhere.
It's the best.
Did they deserve it?
Absolutely, they deserved it. 100%. I don't know if two of Kenny's buddies, if they necessarily deserve to be slaughtered by a 300-year-old vampire. I don't know if they really did. Kenny and his brother, fuck.
So yes. There was no chance of therapy and reforming them?
No, they were going to be serial killers.
Okay.
What do you think?
No, I just, that is a very strong opinion. I don't know. Okay. I don't know if being a horrible bully means death by vampire.
I think, if anything, the older brother.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that one. Death by vampire.
Because older brother. The older brother is why Kenny was such an asshole. And I feel like maybe there could have been some redemption. Maybe.
But then that's like saying, like, don't punish Jeffrey Dahmer.
Right.
He punish just had his parents terrible for childhood. Being terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But if Jeffrey Dahmer would have had a different childhood, would he have turned out to be Jeffrey Dahmer as we know him today?
I don't know.
See, true crime podcast.
I don't know. Yes. We compare horror films to true crime. Well, then it skips ahead a little bit. Owen is traveling alone on a train.
Good for him.
That is a big deal when you're 12.
Get the fuck out of there, man.
With a trunk. Do his parents just not report him missing?
I think he was just kind of like, fuck you. Like,
but yeah, your parents still report you missing and people still look for you. She's probably awesome at hiding, though.
She's probably awesome at hiding. And I can imagine they probably, well, Mike and I talked about this, too. Does she have a lot of money?
Maybe.
Like,
all the people they murder, maybe they steal money from.
Yeah.
Maybe she's like super crafty, like breaking into houses.
You'd have to be if you were like.
Yeah. It's not like he's going to get a job.
No.
Not saying that he's incapable. I'm just saying he doesn't have time for that if he's, like, murdering people.
Catering to a vampire lady.
Although Dexter murdered a ton of people and he had a really good job.
That's true.
Okay. So he's traveling alone on the train with this big giant trunk. Once the ticket person walks by, he taps on the trunk and she taps back.
Yeah.
In Morse code.
Yes. And he's eating now and laters.
Yes. Which, if he wants to make it a long time as her caretaker, he should probably work on the strength training and lay off the candy.
Yes.
Especially since he's not going to be able to go to a dentist.
Why not?
Money.
Money from the vampire girl. But insurance. Is he just paying for everything in cash?
Probably in cash.
That's a little suspicious.
I don't know. That's way in their future. You don't know what's going to happen. She could get pissed off and, like, eat him 2 days later.
That's true.
Yeah.
God, what a constant cloud of fear hanging over you all the time. I don't know if it would be worth it.
You don't worry constantly that Mike is going to murder you?
And eat me? I don't think so.
Oh, that's just me then. Yeah, I would recommend it to people who like vampire films.
Yes. I do have something else to say.
Oh.
Stephen King thought it was the best American horror film in the last 20 years.
Oh.
So that's kind of cool.
I wouldn't go that far.
I wouldn't go that far either.
I'd say it's better than a lot of Stephen King stuff.
Yes.
We've talked about it before because Stephen King is like, great story, great story. Boom, it's aliens. Like, oh, come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
All right. I don't have anything left to say about it. I would recommend it if people like vampire films. I don't think it's super gory. Sorry, Mike. I know it's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Mike, when we were watching it, said we were eating Subway at the time. And I asked him, I said, Mike, do you like this movie? He said, I couldn't finish my sub because it was icky.
And then there's Greg, who was practically like applauding when, like, all the bullies were getting ripped apart.
Yeah, I would recommend it. I would recommend the 2008 one, too. I really like that
one. It is subtitled.
It is subtitled.
Which a lot of the online reviews that I read talk about how the American version isn't as good, but Americans don't like reading subtitles.
That's because we're lazy.
I liked it.
I don't mind it. I don't care either.
I do like to be warned ahead of time. If a film's in black and white, I like to know it's in black and white before I watch it. Even though it doesn't bother me.
No.
I just like to know.
Yeah.
Or if it's a musical, like, I like to know if something's going to be a musical.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, a recent musical that I've seen. I don't think What's the one? Into the Woods. I didn't know Into the Woods was going to be a musical when I saw it.
And then there's the one with the really hot guy and the really Ryan Gosling's in it, maybe.
La La Land.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Musical.
I mean, I knew that was a musical going into it.
Oh, okay. Well. But yeah, great. Lovely film. Like Aaron said, if you dig vampire films, it's a really good one.
Horror/romance.
Yeah, super cute and bloody and all that fun stuff. So if you like what you hear and want to know what we're going to be doing and all that other fun stuff, follow us on Instagram. It's /your movie review, all one word, all lowercase. We have a Facebook page, /your movie review, and we also have a webpage, /yourmoviereview.com. So go like, subscribe, all that fun stuff. And then we try to keep the website up to date, but, like, we have other shit going on than just this.
We have lives. Hello.
We have lives. So Mike tries to keep that updated as best as we can. So, yeah.
All right. Well, everyone have a good night.
And it's the beginning of spooky season.
Yeah. So we're going to try to keep everything extra spooky.
Extra spooky. All right, everybody have a great week.
All right, bye.
Bye.